everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about an emerging trend, peer-to-peer RV rentals. Many people use rentals to explore the RV lifestyle or test out different types of motorhomes. We interviewed Jen Young, the co-founder of Outdoorsy, to find out more about this exciting new option.
You may say that you would never let anyone else tow your precious rig into the great outdoors, but we are seriously considering making our travel trailer start earning its keep around these parts. You are listening to episode number 56, RV Rentals with Outdoorsy. Before we head into this week's featured topic, RV Rentals with Outdoorsy, we have our own RVFTA News Roundup. What do you got to round up?
Well, it's October, so that means we are officially in the month of our rally.
It is our rally month.
It is our rally month.
It is our rally month.
Rally month. October 23rd, 24th at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA. We get to meet some people that are coming to the rally at the Hershey RV show. We actually had some listeners stop by, introduce themselves, and say we'll see you later this month, which was really cool. And we'd love you to come also. So if you haven't made reservations, call the campground. They'll squeeze you in.
Hopefully. They'll squeeze you in. Drop Stephanie's name. Say that Stephanie said on the show, they'll squeeze you in. And I'm kind of hoping for a really nice fall foliage. I think the timing should be right for the Brandywine River region.
Yeah.
And also just know that Winterthur and Longwood Gardens are nearby. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a planned outing to either of those places. But if you want to do one, those are great options for Saturday.
Yeah, we always go to both of those places when we visit. A gorgeous time of year to be, especially Winterthur that time of year. I tend to like Longwood more in the spring with the tulips and blah, blah, blah. But Winterthur at that time of the year
is and your
gorgeous.
And I would say this, if by any chance, God forbid, it's rainy, Longwood is great for the kids because of their indoor children's garden, which is world class.
Yeah. So we've been giving away some items over the last month because we had our gear guide come out and we just kind of get excited.
And our birthday, our RVFTA first birthday.
So we just decided presents for everyone. So we had the calendar and postcard set from Sea America, and Gretchen won that. I emailed Gretchen. Gretchen hasn't responded.
Where are you?
Gretchen.
So if the clock's ticking.
Yeah, the clock's ticking on Gretchen. So if I don't hear, someone else is going to get an email too. I'll double check with her, but we'll see. So then also we have a winner for the Camp Casual 5-piece kids dish set, and that's Crystal. And Crystal's going to get an email telling her, you won, and we'll send that out.
And you better respond
to
that email, Crystal, or Stephanie will drop you.
No, all I have to do is hit the button again in my contest hopper, and it just picks another winner.
It's true. She literally presses a button.
It is a button.
And the first winner's gone, and a new winner, the name appears.
It's like in a split second.
It's almost kind of fun to do.
Just another winner. Okay, so now this week, our giveaway is the Toastite Tidbit.
New product.
Mm-hmm. So it's similar to the Toastite, okay, which is a sandwich iron that you use to cook over the campfire. You can also use it on your RV stove, which we do
Did I make some tasty Reubens with that thing? Can you just tell everybody on the show I made some awesome Reubens?
Yes, you did, but you have to do more, okay? You can't just rest on your laurels.
I perfected my Reuben recipe. What more did I have to prove?
All right, so the Tidbit actually changes it up a little bit.
It's a game changer.
And the pie iron, it turns it into four little triangular
tidbits.
So it's almost like making little fireside snacks as opposed
one
to
one for
sandwiches.
Each of the kids.
No.
You know what? Here's the use for the Toastite Tidbit. The kids want a snack around the campfire. You don't want to make four Toastite sandwiches. That's a lot of work.
You
whip out the tidbit and they each get a tidbit.
You get a tidbit.
And you get to go to bed on time.
It's cute for the s'mores. Like if you did s'mores, it's like you can do little pocket s'mores or the little pizzas. It basically it makes you those frozen appetizers you can get in the freezer
section. I just wonder what these toast-type people are going to do next.
Who knows? But we're giving one away. There's the contest hopper over at our website, of course, rvfamilytravelatlas.com. Go over, you enter your email address to get into the
And the email address
contest.
Is just used for our newsletter.
Right. Nothing else. Okay. So that's it. Enter in that contest and we'll announce the winner next week. All right. So
next up, we had a big trip planned.
We did.
To the Cape Hatteras KOA, which is one of our really kind of our favorite places. Mm-hmm. And we saw some really bad weather brewing down south. And we made a last second change and decided not to go. And we were kind of saying to ourselves, like, that's one thing we love about the RV lifestyle is that you can change on a dime.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean it's super easy.
Like, it was a hard decision, actually.
It was a very hard decision. But we watched and the weather kept getting worse and worse and worse to the point where they were then saying, oh, is a tropical storm going to develop? And we were like, you know what? Peace out.
And we love Cape Hatteras when the weather's good. Mm-hmm. When the weather's not good, it's just not the place to be.
Yeah.
Okay, not with kids anyway. Well, if you're just there to surf, fine.
Yeah, we don't cry over rainy days. I mean, look, rainy days can be a real bummer when you're on vacation, but we try to keep them in perspective and just find the good indoor activities to do. But down in Cape Hatteras,
there's not a lot to do when the wind gets going and the rain gets going.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I'll cry over rainy days if there's seven of them in a row. You know, like we always have a great attitude about like the one rainy day on the trip. And we always go out and have a lot of fun.
Right.
But when it stretches past that, particularly with the boys, a cabin fever sets in.
Yeah.
So we made the tough decision and we decided to go in the other direction for a more promising weather report. And we ended up in Lake Placid, New York.
I know.
At the Lake Placid KOA. We're here now. We did have some rain here at the beginning of the week, but we had a really awesome day today and packed a lot of good stuff in. So next week, we're going to do a whole Lake Placid episode, and it'll just be sort of an introduction to the area. It's not going to be like one of our adventure guides that gives you 20 things to do, but it'll give you a taste for Lake Placid because it's truly a great RV destination.
It is. It's phenomenal up here. I love it. We had said over and over again, it was so hard for us to get up into New England, into the northern area for leaf peeping season, right? We've said that for years. Oh, we can't get up there during we get up here in the summer all the time.
We wanted to see some foliage.
But we did. And so we thought, okay, let's grab this opportunity and come up here. And we have watched the colors explode
over the course of the week. And tomorrow, hopefully even more so.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And I'm so glad we did it. It really turned
around. And we started to share some pictures and say how much we loved it. And I think I said at one point, I'm falling in love with the Adirondacks, which is totally true. And somebody said, oh, you guys fall in love everywhere you go.
Yeah.
So Stephanie wanted to address that.
Well, I did. I think I talked about this one other time on our podcast a while back. But I know we have a lot of new listeners. And, too, I think there's some things that are just worth kind of exploring a little more in depth every once in a while. And I would say about every 6 months or so, we get a comment either through email, on our blog, or on social media that tends in that direction of, hey, you know, you guys sure are very positive about the places you go or the campgrounds that you stay at. Like, I think one time somebody was like, do you guys ever give a negative review? Now, I've explained in the past that we are recommenders, not critiquers. That's sort of our general philosophy. We had a sit-down meeting years ago. We hashed this out.
It's like, a drawing board.
We thought about it. We decided, do we want to give campground reviews that are good and bad? Do we want to, you know, use social media to sort of critique places and to say, don't go here? Or do we want to focus on the positive and say the things we like? And we really decided to go in that direction.
And I think even more importantly to me, to be honest with you, is that I really just do think that we do so much advanced research on campgrounds that we pretty much know we're going to show up somewhere good.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't go somewhere unless it has lots and lots and lots of good reviews. Mm-hmm. So we're not showing up and disliking a lot of campgrounds because we're just putting in the time ahead of time to make sure it's a great place.
Yeah, we actually can count about three campgrounds that we've ever stayed at that we really didn't like.
Yeah, maybe two for me.
Yeah, I have three. But we've been at a lot.
That's out of 70 campgrounds.
Yeah, and because we do put in so much advanced planning, and we really consider what will make us happy when we're going to a place, and we pour over those reviews, we do our research now. All of that aside, I want to say something about the way we travel. When we go to a place, we are looking to like unpack that destination almost like a gift. Like, I really do look at it like that. Like, here's the box and it's all wrapped up and I don't know what's inside. And I want to unwrap it and I want to see what it is and I want to learn all about it. When I go to a new place, I look forward to it showing itself to me and to really getting to know that personality and that destination. I don't go to a place saying, okay, here's my checklist of 10 things that I expect this place to fulfill. I want this and this and this and this. And I really think that that attitude helps us to always enjoy the places we go. I mean, how many places have we ever been? Ever. And we've been traveling together since we were teenagers. And how many destinations have we gone to that we've been like, yeah, we didn't like it here?
Not many. I mean, in a sense, like, you let the place guide you. You let the place guide your expectations. Yeah. And if you come in with the heavy baggage of mm-hmm. high expectations, it might go...
Oh, I don't even know about... I have high expectations, but I think I look for what the place
on
is.
On its own terms.
Yeah.
Not
like,
every... Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not looking right now. We're in Lake Placid in the fall. I'm not expecting water sports.
Right.
You know? It's just like... Or a beach vacation or whatever. It's like, what are you? You know, there may be a lot of drive. If it's the mountains, and that's okay because it's the mountains. I'm like, I hate driving places. I want everything to be walkable. Well, then don't go to the mountains because everything's not
I also walkable. Think for me, and I, you know, probably for you too, I am just constantly overwhelmed by how big and beautiful this country is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Adirondacks is so close to home in a sense. You know, it's only about six and a half hours away. And it's this, like, major, major region for outdoor adventure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, in a sense, in our backyard. And our country just kind of perpetually surprises me with how many great destinations there are.
I think that's so true. I think we're constantly surprised and delighted by the places that we go. And I would hope that most travelers would have that mentality and have that attitude. And I just want to, you know, say one more thing about that. When we first started dating, I dragged you around to a lot of restaurants because I love eating. I love food. I like, you know, good food. And you were not so
adventurous
with your options. And we used to go into restaurants all the time and you would order the same thing all the time. Do you remember what you would always order?
Don't tell everybody what
okay.
I would always. That's
right.
Embarrassing.
Then I won't. You would order
no,
the same thing all
don't
the time.
Say it though.
I won't. So
it wasn't a cheeseburger.
No.
Because everyone out there just thought
no
cheeseburger.
No matter what type of restaurant it was, you had like your standard order. And eventually I got to the point where I had to say to you have to order the right things at the right restaurants. Like if it's a French restaurant, you order the French food, you know?
Not
like,
the French fries.
You don't... Right. You know, or like the people, you know, you go to a diner, order a diner specialty.
But I think that goes back to the research, though, mm-hmm. because, you know, we come into an area and it's like by reading about it beforehand, you get a sense of what that area has to offer.
Right.
What flavors it has, what outdoor activities it has, what kind of food experiences you might have.
Right. And that was the case for like when we were down in the Great Smokies, we were definitely like, OK, we're looking at barbecue, you know, like we're looking at that kind of food. When we go up into Vermont, everybody that listens knows I'm like eating cheese. The entire time we're
right.
up there.
Grass-fed, organic.
Yes, because you really have to just embrace a region and enjoy it. And so
and there
that's
are
just,
so many to embrace.
There are.
And, you know, we're in New Jersey, and there's so many great regions to embrace to the north mm-hmm. in New England and New York, to the south in the Carolinas. You know, I feel like we're surrounded by great destinations.
Yeah, we are. And so we go into them, and we happily are delighted all the time. And we will continue to be.
I'm delighted to be delighted.
We're okay with that. Yeah, we don't feel uncool that we're not like dishing on
so
places.
So keep looking for us to fall in love with places
and us
to recommend places.
And we hope that you do too in your travels.
Well, we do. Now, you had an iTunes review that you wanted to share. And by the way, we haven't really asked for iTunes reviews in a while, I don't think.
No.
They're incredibly important to us. We have a lot of them and we're very thankful for them. And it really does help us kind of stay visible in the iTunes store. So if you haven't dropped us an iTunes review, please do so. We would really appreciate it. And you wanted to read one.
Well, I did. I wanted to say thank you to Jonathan Kay from the area in Hudson, New York. We're in New York right now, so it's nice to read an iTunes review from someone from New York. And he wrote, a wonderful podcast originating from the Northeast. Great job, Stephanie and Jeremy. Me and my wife love your show. We were already thinking about RV vacations and had reserved a Class C rental and campsites in Acadia before starting to listen to your series of podcasts. After stumbling across your ebook on Amazon and then finding the podcast, we realized we had come to the right place for advice. Then by the time we reached the episode Pros and Cons of the Travel Trailers, you had us convinced. RV travel is for us, and now we are making plans to buy a travel trailer in time for next year's trip. Thank you, Jeremy and Stephanie. I found you just in time for our midlife crisis, so we know what our big life-changing purchase will be.
And I think that's the second person that's made a comment like that about getting the RV for the midlife crisis instead of the sports car.
Hey,
and I love that.
I know.
You know, okay, so you're hitting, and I say this to a lot of people when we do our seminars, particularly I think a lot of men, when they hit their 30s and they have kids, they feel like all the adventure's over in life, and life is just about parenting and work. Wrong answer. Sorry. Disagree. For me, buying the RV and getting into this and all this traveling with the kids has been my greatest adventure as a man and as a father. So I appreciate that comment. You know, if anyone out there is feeling like, oh, I'm 35 or I'm 40 and what does life have left to offer for me? Go get an RV and travel through this big, beautiful country and you'll get through that midlife crisis pretty quickly.
Yeah. And so I love the way that they were thinking of doing a rental, and we're talking about rentals tonight as a way that people
perfect timing.
Yeah,
so why don't we come back in a second with this week's feature topic, RV rentals with Outdoorsy. Before we head into this week's great interview with Jen from Outdoorsy, we wanted to walk our listeners through this brave new world of RV rentals that has emerged in this sort of Airbnb model. This is not your traditional rental from places like El Monte or Cruise America or Road Bear. This is peer-to-peer.
Right. And we are actually going to do another episode on the more traditional models of rentals with those companies that you just mentioned.
Right.
But we wanted to start off by talking about sort of a new trend that's emerging.
Yeah, so look at this as part one of a two-part series. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying this is more valuable than the traditional way of doing it. They're just two great options for you to rent.
Right. And this is different, and it's interesting to a different segment of the market, many of which may be our listeners, I personally think.
Absolutely. So let's walk through some of the benefits for the renters and the benefits for the owners of engaging in this peer-to-peer renting. So what are the benefits for the renters?
Well, first of all, we know that we have a lot of listeners that start researching heavily before they buy an RV.
As they should.
Right. We found that out by just default. When we started podcasting, we expected most of our listeners would be RV owners. Well, we found out very soon when people are thinking, is an RV right for me? They start searching in iTunes stores for RV podcasts and things like this. Well, what they also do is they also try out rentals. Okay. Now, again, traditionally, that's been with some of the bigger companies.
Cruise America, El Monte, Road Bear, or with your local dealer,
many of
which rent.
In last week's RV Hershey Show interview, you heard Karen talk about how her and her husband Bill rented twice from a dealer before they bought. So
we completely think this is a great idea. You know, if you're not sure if you're going to love campground culture, if you're not sure you're going to love RVing, don't just dive in and buy a really expensive RV.
Right.
Go rent for the weekend.
Right.
And it's not necessarily like it's a cheap way to get away for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not saying that. But it is a great way to test this whole thing out.
Right. The question is, are you happy road tripping to a destination? Right? And are you happy with campground culture? Are you comfortable with setting up the RV, with living in that RV space with your family, with your kids of any different ages? Maybe it's grandkids. So that whole sort of dynamic can be tested out with a rental. And again, it is not necessarily the budget option for doing that. It can be on the price to your side, but it's going to save you money in the long run if you say, you know, not for us.
And look, if you're going to go out and break something, you might as well do it on a rental.
No,
I'm just teasing. You know, maybe you just kind of get it out of your system, you know,
yeah.
Like go.
Learn how to back in on a rental.
Yeah,
instead of on your
exactly.
Own
so look, you get to test out the RV lifestyle. It's obviously a great reason to go out and rent. And a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And I read recently that in generations past, a lot of people would just rent an RV every year. Like that was their family vacation. They would rent every year and they would never buy. And in fact, my grandfather rented RVs, never had any desire to buy one. That's changed dramatically.
Right.
Now you have a lot of people renting as sort of an experiment.
Right. Or as sort of a bucket list item, right? Like people just have it in their head like, oh, that one thing that I want to do one time, I want to rent an RV and drive across country or something like that.
I mean, but look, particularly if you're thinking of buying an expensive motorhome and you've never been or driven in a motorhome, to drop $1,000 and rent one for a few nights or a week or whatever, I think is pretty wise.
Right. So then also, one of the interesting things you can do is you can test out different rigs, makes, models within the RV world.
And more so with Outdoorsy.
Right.
And there is another company out there called RV Share, which is also doing this sort of peer-to-peer. There's more options for different types of RVs where the traditional rental companies, a lot of them just have Class Cs with a couple Class As sprinkled in.
Right. So within the RV Share, you can search very specifically for makes and models within your area. So if you're like, you know, we have a travel trailer. If you were like us and you were saying, we have a travel trailer, we think we might want to move up to a motorhome, but a Class A. But we're really not sure if the whole non-designated beds, you know, if we don't get a bunkhouse will work for us or whatever. We could, you know, really test that out. We could rent that motorhome. We could go on a vacation. We could see if we
In fact, if we ever really do move closer to wanting to buy a Class A, I would totally rent one first.
Yeah.
100%.
So I love that idea. Because to be quite frank, I wouldn't want a model like many of the traditional rentals, those Class Cs without any slides. A lot of them don't have any slides, things like that. Like that is not for me necessarily. But hey, if I want to say, Airstreams are so beautiful. Could we be happy in an Airstream as a family? You can find Airstreams on these RV Share.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
I think I mentioned this in the interview with Jen, but I searched in our area just to see, like, were there options? And there were definitely a variety of options.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the traditional Class A. There were some travel trailers and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, you're not always going to have somebody renting an Airstream in your neighborhood or nearby. Depending on where you live, you might, though.
Yeah. So for me, I saw two major benefits for the renters. I saw that you could test out the RV lifestyle, but you could also test out new rigs. Now, on the flip side of that, this really has a lot of benefits for RV owners, which is very different than the industry that's grown up around RV rentals, right? This is all about the RV owner.
Yeah, it empowers owners.
Yeah.
And the first thing you have here is that it offsets the cost of RV ownership. The cost of RV ownership is not cheap necessarily, right? I mean, we all have that monthly payment.
Depends on who you talk to.
Or most of us have that monthly payment. Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
Look, if you bought a pop-up off Craigslist, God bless you. But a lot of people have a payment or it's a substantial part of their monthly budget. This is a great way to offset those costs.
Yeah. You could say, okay, so it costs us this much and, you know, that's our budget. But we also can, you know, maybe try to figure out how many times we can rent this to pay for that payment in a year.
Yeah, and thankfully we put a healthy down payment on our RV. If we rented our travel trailer for one night, it would pay our monthly payment. Two nights, it definitely would pay our monthly payment. So if you start thinking in those terms, you could make this profitable.
Right. Now, you could also use it to increase your travel budget. Like, there's so many RV owners that want to travel more than they do, right? We are all limited by our budget, right? By how much we can travel. So, or how far we can, or the kinds of campgrounds that we can stay at. Like a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I love that campground, but it's so expensive. So I was thinking this is a great way if you have those splurge RV vacations that you want to take or those splurge campgrounds that you want to stay at. use this. But you could be like, okay, all we have to do is rent our RV for this many nights.
I think if you were to rent it for a week, you could probably get a great vacation for a week out of it. If you work out the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea that you could do it that way. So, you know, now this is what, of course, my husband has been thinking. What have you been thinking
about? It's an excuse to maybe own a second rig. Or to purchase a second RV.
Right.
I would love to get a teardrop.
Right.
It makes no sense for our family.
Right.
We have three kids. I love them. They're adorable. I love the idea of, even if it was once a year, of you and I sneaking away for a weekend in a teardrop. Okay, it doesn't make sense to buy one, though, for that reason. But if I could rent it, and I think with a teardrop, something cool like that, that an awful lot of people could actually tow.
Right, because you can tow a teardrop with a Subaru.
I have this fantasy that I could turn this into make a little profit every month with this teardrop. And if we get to use it once or twice a year, or let friends use it or whatever, that would be awesome.
Right. It's kind of the concept that most people operate on when they're looking at house rentals. They buy in a place, like we were about to go down to Cape Hatteras. They buy a house in a place like Cape Hatteras thinking, well, I can rent it for these months to make my mortgage payment, and then I'll have a vacation house or a place that I can go with all of my family or friends or whatever as well. So it's really operating in that same way. Oh, I can rent it and make up my money, but then I'll have this little sort of get around town teardrop trailer
or just
for date weekends with my wife.
Or just a quiet place to go take a nap.
Right, a napping house.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a $12,000 teardrop to take naps.
Because I really want to nap.
I kind of love that idea. Oh my God. Every parent out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. Every parent listening is like, I want a teardrop for naps. I'll take turns with you, Steph.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, we'll say. All right. So then also, that we just sort of indicated, we really are very curious about trying this out ourselves. Like, we do have a desire to try this out. So we're experimenting with it.
I have to say, I partly want to rent our RV so we can do an episode about it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do it as an experiment so we can get a podcast show out of it and just tell everybody how it went.
Well, we're interested enough in it to do that, and it's a good story. Like, it just is interesting, and we think it would have high interest to
my listeners. My issue is that we have a 33-foot travel trailer, and it's just a big travel trailer for someone to tow around that's inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
If we had something small, if we still had the pop-up, we would be up on Outdoorsy right now renting it. 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I trust someone to take a travel trailer of this size out on the road into the campground.
Right. And I think that that's a valid point. If you are out there listening to this right now and you have a smaller trailer, sign up.
And more people can tow it. I mean, there's more vehicles out there that can hitch up and tow the thing out of your driveway and pay you for it.
Right. Yeah, I don't, right, exactly. I don't know how many people would be able to tow our trailer, would have the equipment.
Or if someone knew how to, they probably own one already. You know what I'm saying? Like, anyone can tow a little teardrop somewhere, I would think.
Yes,
I would
not
hope,
a big deal. It's like putting a U-Haul in your car. And people do that all the time, right? To move from one state to the other or whatever.
Good analogy,
Thank
dear.
Thank you.
I just don't know if any... There's a learning curve to towing a 33-foot travel trailer.
Right.
It's not that steep of a learning curve.
And you don't want somebody to learn on yours.
No, I mean, if we ever decide, like, oh, we really want to upgrade, you know, Outdoorsy's got good insurance policy.
Yeah, they do. We'll talk about that in the interview. Okay, so anyway, that's our problem, is that we'd love to try this out. We're not sure if we'll try this out because of the size of our trailer,
so,
but
listeners,
you will
know
if we do.
Let's use you as guinea pigs.
Yeah.
If any of you do this, let us know. We would love to talk about it on the show. If you have already, let us know. Seriously, this is like a fascinating new segment of the market that's developed, and it's getting all kinds of press right now.
Well, because look at how successful Airbnb has been. I mean, it is
crazy.
The only way some people travel now. I mean, a lot of millennials, especially. Everybody talks about millennials.
Those crazy millennials.
It is the only way they travel now, by using Airbnb. You know, they just get on their phone and they do it. So, you know, it makes sense to say this is a very valid thing, like trend in the RV industry that people need to pay attention to.
Well, you know, and all the marketers that pay so much attention to the next generation and what their preferences will be and what their purchase preferences will be, they're saying millennials don't want to, like, own anything, which we'll see, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'll believe it in 10 years if they don't all, like, buy houses or whatever. Oh. But this, I mean, there's the thought out there this could be huge. We shall see, okay? So we'll be back in a second with Jen Young, the co-founder of Outdoorsy. Oh, and I wanted to say something about Jen. Jen, I love Jen because Jen complimented us after the interview. We're going off tape for this, people.
Okay.
So after we did this interview, Jen complimented Stephanie and I and said that she loved our energy.
You really took that compliment to heart.
Boy, did that, Jen, if you're listening. That made me so happy because I've been working hard on my energy, Jen.
Oh, have you really?
You made me glow inside. I got that warm, fuzzy feeling inside. So I wanted to thank Jen for appreciating our good energy.
All right.
Okay?
So from now on, honey, all I have to do is compliment your energy and I'll get
It's important
a
in life to have good energy. Like you could think, oh, it's a hippy dippy
right.
thing to tell somebody they have good energy.
But it feels
But it's
good.
Not. It's
You're
like
right.
the ultimate compliment to just
right.
tell somebody, hey, you have good energy.
Right.
So to our listeners out there, if you know a spouse, a colleague, a coworker, one of your children.
Yeah.
Okay. If they have good energy.
Let them know.
Let them know.
Feels good.
It feels great.
Made Jeremy feel good anyway. All right.
And we'll be back in a second with Jen Young from Outdoorsy. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are very excited to be here with Jen Young, one of the co-founders of Outdoorsy. How are you, Jen?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Hi, Jen. Welcome.
Yeah, we're really excited for you to kind of educate our listeners about Outdoorsy and to kind of tell everybody how it works. So before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are and where you're coming from and what you did before you started this big adventure.
Okay, well, my name's Jen Young, and most of my career has been spent in the marketing and advertising business. I am Canadian, but I left Canada, and I've worked in London and Europe and Sydney and Australia, and then lastly in the United States, based out of New York. And I've worked for a variety of different big American brands mainly, and I worked in direct marketing and customer communications, building brands and loyalty programs, and I was working on a piece of business that brought me into the campground and RV space, and that's a bit of where the idea for the business was born. And it was just so lovely to be able to find something that intersected my own personal interest in traveling and the outdoors, and also being able to build marketing and communications that were within a community marketplace.
So why don't you tell our audience exactly what Outdoorsy is?
Okay, so Outdoorsy.co or Outdoorsy.co is a community-driven marketplace for renting RVs, trailers, motorhomes directly from local RV owners. So when we set out, our mission was twofold. Make sure that everybody has access and the opportunity to get outdoors, renting RVs, and then two, to mobilize the 16 million RVs that are out there that go largely unused for most of the year. We wanted to be able to empower their owners to really turn the vehicles into money-making opportunities for them. So we built a marketplace that connects people to a network of RV owners where you can reserve and rent directly from the owner. But the thing I like to say when I just sort of net it down is it's important to say that we're more than a website. We're really a community that's bridging the gap between the increasing demand for renting RVs and the people who supply them.
Now, I noticed too, because I've been kind of reading up on you guys and researching a little bit, you do have a blog, you are on Instagram, and so you are taking that part of it seriously in terms of building a community, a landing space for people to come and kind of get interested in the RV lifestyle, correct?
Yeah, thank you very much also for checking us out and looking at our blog, Never Idle. Yeah, that's exactly right. We're 100% committed to educating and providing useful information and showing a different light of RVing, which isn't necessarily, the simple traditional RVing picture that most people talk about. There's so many different kinds and diverse groups of individuals that RV and spend their time on the road, and we really want to be able to celebrate that.
Yeah, and boy, oh boy, have we learned that lesson over the last year of this podcast. I mean, we're just shocked at the diversity of the type of person that's into RVing right now. So educate us a little bit here. Let's walk our listeners through how it would actually work, what the process would be if they wanted to rent someone's RV for a weekend or a week, what would they do? Just walk us through it in the most simple terms.
Okay, so would you like me to start by talking about the perspective of somebody wanting to rent?
Yeah, please. Oh, that would be great.
Okay, cool. Because this is the interesting thing about marketplaces. There's always two sides. Those wanting to rent, those wanting to list. But for renters, the benefits are great because people or consumers, they always want more choices, really. And until now, they really haven't had a lot of choices when it comes to renting an RV. Before a platform or before a brand like ours, people were really limited in their choices to more of the stock standard models from the traditional rental companies. But with Outdoorsy,
and those would be like the Class A, right?
I mean, exactly.
Your Cruise America, whoever it might be.
The white box. Yeah,
they're all typically renting a Class A.
Yeah, it's a Class C. It, you know, it also comes with a fairly significant amount of somebody else's company branding and a lot of big decals, and you know, just it doesn't really afford people that the personal touch or something that might suit their own personal interests in either the type of the RV or just the way it looks from the outside.
And I read in an article about you guys, I forget which one, you guys have been getting a lot of great press in the last few weeks. In one of the articles, someone from your company was saying how a lot of Europeans that are coming over to do their big RV trip don't necessarily want a huge logo slapped on the RV, so it screams out, "I am a renter," at the campground. And I was like, oh, wow, I never really thought
of
that.
Well, we notice them when they pull in. We're always like, oh, look, it's a renter.
For the first time.
Yeah. It's like those rentals scream out, hey, I am renting. You know, and then everybody's stopping and looking at them as they pull in and waiting for them to like back into a tree or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can go a little bit more incognito.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. And you can go a little more incognito and two, you can find something that like suits your own personal tastes and desires. But I did want to sort of walk through, as you were asking me about how it works, because that is a bit of a question that we do get asked a lot. And you'd be surprised at how straightforward it is, because literally anybody, whether they're Europeans wanting to travel down Route 66 or any one of our great parks, or if it's just, you know, young college students wanting to do football tailgating, or if it's a family of four wanting to do a great park and hiking trip for the weekend, it's really straightforward. You just log on to outdoorsy.co and you can search and find or have access to searching through hundreds of different RVs by multiple locations or different amenities. And you choose and select the RV that's made sort of just for you. As we said, you know, there's so much choice. Do you want a fifth wheel, a travel trailer, a folding camper, an A-frame, a certain brand like a Winnebago or an Airstream, Class C even? What's your price range? Are you looking for certain elements like you want to go on a scuba diving trip, so you want the extra storage below, or are you going to have a few extra friends with you and you want some slide outs? So basically you just search for the individual elements that meet your criteria, and then you message directly with the RV owner. You negotiate any of the particulars. A lot of our owners, and this is one of my favorite things about our platform, is a lot of the owners don't just make available the RV for sale or for rent, but they also throw in all the stuff that you need that you don't want to have to buy and then keep in your own garage. So they'll offer like hospitality packs of nice sheets and linens and towels, or sometimes they'll even stock the fridge with beer and some food, or they'll fill up the propane tanks, or they'll include the camping chairs or the fishing rods, or, you know, the list goes on. So you just negotiate back and forth. You message
directly to the owner. When you say negotiate, is there negotiation on price, or are you really trying to create a system where the owner picks the price and that's the price?
Well, both are true. I mean, the owner picks the price and that's the price, but everything can be negotiated, right? So
the owner decides, obviously.
The owner decides, yeah. So we've found scenarios where there's just a perfect match made in heaven right off the bat. A potential renter reaches out to an owner. They like the price. They like what's on offer. Great. Tick, tick, tick. Approve the quote. And then you make the payment and on you go. We've also found renters and owners where they might negotiate on some of the costs, maybe related to the mileage or the generator usage.
Now, Jen, I have to ask a question here. Is there any education for the renter in the write-up of the, say they're looking at a travel trailer? Is there any place that they know what I need to tow this vehicle, you know, this trailer with? Like, what are the specs here? How heavy is this trailer? Can I, you know, tow it with my vehicle? Is there any room for that?
Well, that's a great question, especially for first-time renters, because as you guys know, if you haven't been in a trailer, for example, and you don't know what the weight or the specs for the hookups are or the hitch, you need to have that information. So when owners list their RVs on our site, they're walked through a simple four-step process. And one of the steps is to describe the RV or trailer or motorhome. And our owners will often describe those requirements there. But also, as they go back and forth in the conversation and messaging, and then most especially when they pick up the RV, mm-hmm. exchange the keys, there's always an orientation moment. Let me walk you around the rig. Let me show you how it works. Let's go through the trailer hookup. And that's where, so the education is almost threefold. In the listing of the RV itself, in the communication back and forth, and then when they actually pick up the RV from the owner's home, or sometimes they'll drop them off at parks.
And the owner has some responsibility at that point, too. If somebody pulls up in a truck that's just not going to tow the trailer, you're going to tell somebody, hey, you're not driving away with my RV here with that little SUV, right?
Exactly. But, you know, the one thing that, I guess I shouldn't say surprises me, but it is it's a lovely positive surprise, and that is how naturally responsible people are. They just are, you know. So both renters and owners are working hard to make sure they know everything they need to and to have a responsible trip. And I can't tell you how many times renters have said, I feel like I want to bring back the RV in better condition than I left it with. And we've even had some renters bring back a little bottle of wine and a gift to the owner. So people treat each other very nicely.
Now, how do we deal with insurance? Because I'm a high school teacher, and I know that not all people always act responsibly. So what happens when somebody is naughty? And how do you give the renter the extra security? Just tell us how the insurance angle works on this.
Absolutely. So insurance, so what we did, we knew that safety and security or peace of mind on both sides was really important. So we negotiated and we provide $1 million liability insurance program for both renters and owners. So each party can be protected for the duration of the rental period. And this insurance policy does also apply for both U.S. and international customers. We just had two young girls who flew from London to San Francisco, and they wanted to drive the coast, cross the Canadian border, and insurance was important to them. So a program that we have, which is fairly easy and straightforward, it just involves a couple of simple steps, a short review process, takes 24 hours to qualify, you do it on our site, and then you essentially pay a minimum. It varies depending on which RV you're renting, but the coverage cost could be as little as $21 per day for renters, and it's available across most states, and then that becomes your insurance program.
Okay, so that's very similar to renting a car, I feel like, where you just attach that fee to the daily rental of a car.
Okay, great. Yeah, let's switch over to the RV owner who is interested in renting their RV. And I have to say, you know, when Stephanie and I were talking about interviewing you, we were like, I mean, the idea clicks, right? I mean, we live in a house and our RV sits in the driveway. You know, we use it a lot. We're 60 nights a year in the RV, but that leaves a lot of nights when we're not using it. So, you know, it's of course of interest. So walk us through that. How does that work for the RV owner that might want to rent their RV?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, isn't it funny? Like you guys, you just said that you might spend 60 nights in your RV, which on average is like, it's way over indexed.
Oh yeah, we're not normal.
Trust me.
Yeah, that's like that's like crazy. Most people spend, you know, 10 days. So you guys are like off the charts.
And with three little kids, we've gone off the rails on a crazy train.
That's so cool. I love that. But for most people, you know, there's 11.5 million Americans that own an RV, which in often cases is the second most significant purchase that they will make next to their home. And they only use it 10 days a year. So as you're saying, and our proposition is really built on this, how do those people make some money back? How do we help them offset the burden of their loan payments and all of the expensive ongoing maintenance costs? Maintenance costs could be $16,000 a year for an RV. And that's really where outdoorsy.co comes in and sort of, you know, helps people make money and provides benefits for both sides. For owners, it's really straightforward. If an RV owner can rent out their his or her rig for even once or twice a year, they could offset the full cost of ownership. So they can basically turn their RV into a bit of a money or an income stream. You know, that might help pay for the RV itself. Maybe it even just helps you get out on the road more often. But the demand is absolutely there. I mean, at this point, we can't actually fulfill all of the demand that we have, meaning we cannot satisfy all the rental requests for RVs, trailers, motorhomes, et cetera. So
you have a greater challenge getting owners to want to rent their RVs than to get people to want to go rent one for a weekend. Is that the greater challenge really in the mix for you?
That's correct, which is why it's so important for us to be able to find ways to connect directly with owners of RVs and explain to them that outdoorsy.co is completely free. It's safe. It's insured. The nature of a marketplace with peer reviews, provides that additional layer of security, knowing that you're getting quality renters. And it's so easy to set up your RV and, you know, see what comes at you for interest. Basically, you just go online and you select the list your RV button, and you just go through a couple of straightforward steps. You list where the RV is located, year, make, and model, checkbox the amenities that are available, upload some photos, set your availability calendar. So we don't want to make our RV available for rent during the summer months because that's when we use it. Otherwise, it's fine. And you set your pricing. And we also help you with pricing. We tell you where what are sort of the standard pricing rates in the areas and regions, because they do vary depending on demand and, you know, special locations like near national parks, et cetera. And then the RV is listed. You can share it within your own network, but the real work is on our side where we do all of the marketing
right.
for you.
And so the listing is free. When you said free before, it's free to list it, and then you guys are getting a commission once the deal is made, as it were.
Correct, exactly. It doesn't cost you anything to make your RV available and to be presented with options for your,
right.
you know, consideration.
Now, it does look easy. I will say I messed around with the website. It doesn't look complicated to either rent an RV. Like, I put in our town, and to your credit, there was a pretty good option, pretty good variety. And I also looked like it would be easy to list our RV for rental. But there's the emotional difficulty of letting somebody into your RV, which I also would assume is a challenge. Because, you know, a lot of the rhetoric in the RV industry is, oh, buy an RV instead of staying in a hotel because it's your own and no one's going to sleep in your bed, you know?
Yep.
So that's gone, that element. So how do you try and deal with that challenge of getting people comfortable emotionally letting a stranger into their RV?
Yeah, I mean, there's such a gap between the practical realities and good sense thinking and then how your heart really feels. So we've definitely come across this. Even for myself, I started out in an Airbnb scenario where I made my home available. And I put my home up on Airbnb for rent, and I went through exactly the same process. And again, as I was saying a little bit earlier, you'd be surprised at if you just allow yourself to move through that process emotionally, it actually ends up feeling good. Because
and the check probably feels good.
the money's helpful. I mean, it's hard to make money these days. Imagine if you even just brought in $15,000 extra a year by letting your RV go out a couple of times into a family or a couple or a person just like yourself. You know, that's not actually too difficult to emotionally get around. And that's the wonderful thing of the, you know, person to person model, because you speak directly with the individual, you get comfortable. And, you know, that, as I said earlier, most people have a personal interest in wanting to bring back the RV in better condition than they left it, because people, you know, they want to do the right thing.
I love how you say, let your RV go out. Like, it's your teenager and you're letting them have their first date. It's like, let it happen. You'll see. It's not so bad.
Well, I imagine the real challenge is getting, I mean, it's almost obvious to say, getting someone to do it the first time, and then
exactly.
you make money on it. And if there's not a problem, I imagine the second time it's very easy. So are you seeing people, you know, renting it the first time and then they're very willing to continue?
100%. So far, we haven't had anybody have an experience where they rented it out and didn't want to do it a second time. And I'm also trying to build in to our Never Idle blog, and also even on our website through our customer section, real video testimonials and commentary from actual owners that talk about and describe what it was like. I think we've got some great content up there that, you know, explains the feeling and the process, but I want to work even harder to be able to share the stories of owners so that you get a feeling for what you can expect.
Great. Now, you do have competitors, and I'm not just talking about your, you know, Cruise America and the more traditional rental organizations. Why should our listeners, you know, choose Outdoorsy instead of going to one of the other companies that are doing this?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some competitors. I mean, from our perspective, we're happy to know that people are wanting to get into the outdoors, and you know, we think it's a win-win for everybody. But I can tell you from an Outdoorsy perspective, the things that we're most proud about are our commitment to our customer success and service team. We're 24/7, 7 days a week, and we're really committed to the customer experience for both owners and renters. And also, I think we might be really the only one that's providing full insurance right now, which we also consider to be a pretty important thing.
Excellent, too. And I do think that community building is important on your part. I was impressed to see the blog, and the blog looked good. So what do you enjoy about doing this? What makes this fun for you? What makes you excited to get up in the morning and go to work on this thing? I'm sure you're working pretty hard right now.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know that phrase they say, when you do something you love, it doesn't feel like work at all?
Yes.
I know that phrase. I don't really believe it. We just wrote a book and it felt like work. And I really wanted to do it.
On the other hand, Jen, interviewing you doesn't feel like work at all.
No, right, exactly.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I definitely know I'm working my butt off. Like, even today, I started work at 6 a.m. I still have, and it's a combination of physical work. You know, we worked with a renter and an owner today. We dropped off a gorgeous Airstream rig. They were taking it down to Sonoma. We wanted to be there. We live in an RV full time, so we had to come back and make sure all my hookups were good. Plus, I've got to do at least 10 hours of work online. So it's a lot of work, but it feels really good for us because we're tapping into many powerful drivers. Like, one, just the beauty of the wide open road, the diversity of the people that we come across, and the genuine benefits, both financially and emotionally, that a business and an opportunity like this provides, and the possibility for people to be enterprising and, you know, do better in their own life, and just the deep sense of community. I think, you know, it's the right time in the world to be doing this kind of work, where people are helping and sharing each other. We're all winning, and we're spending more time on the road, really working with each other, than in boxes in corporate offices and our houses.
Now, let's talk about that. You're heading out full time for a year, or for at least a year.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I can tell you, I'm a woman, and I only have my schedule planned until April. So that's that's what I can see. We've got a great schedule lined up until April, but we'd love to stay on the road for as long as we possibly can. I'm sure you guys get this more than anybody. When, you know, being on the road and in an RV is a little bit like life. You never know what's going to come up, and you just sort of go with it. So
it's made us very flexible.
Yeah, yes. But you know, from what I've read in a lot of the articles about you guys, and we'll link to some of them in the show notes, there's a philosophy behind you moving into the RV and hitting the road. This is very connected to the business, correct?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we're doing it because we feel blessed that we even can. And two, we want to make sure that we build the best customer experience that Outdoorsy can offer. And there's no greater way to do that than actually being in, you know, on the road with our customers and kind of, you know, working our business day to day to be able to bring the insights for how we can improve it.
So where are you taking that Airstream first?
Well, I'm in it right now, just outside of San Francisco in a RV park in Pacifica.
And is that the one right on the water?
It is.
Oh, okay. What's the name of that one again? We've read about that.
Great question. I know it as Pacifica.
Okay. I know exactly which one you mean. It overlooks the water, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been in so many places lately, it's like hard for me to even keep up of like the details of names, but it is absolutely beautiful. I would totally recommend anybody coming here. And basically, what we're going to do is we're just going to continue to head down south. We want to bring on a lot more owners down around Santa Barbara, Los Angeles area. We're actually going to do a couple of great promotions for college football games. And then we're going to continue down to the Albuquerque Balloon Festival. Past that, we're going to do Las Vegas. And then I think we're going to go to Rivia's annual fall show. At the Los Angeles County Fair and Exposition that's in Panoma. We want to hit a NASCAR race. And then there's a few other things on the go. I just have to work out for timing.
Good for you. Now, you said the college football game. So you're going after sort of a tailgating market where people might want to rent and go to a football game, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, think about the mutual benefits for that. First of all, college kids or young people are, you know, difficult for them to purchase at that time in their life an RV. Two, we're really learning that millennials don't want to purchase a lot of these big expensive assets. How great is that for an owner of an RV who lives nearby any one of these sporting events, whether it's, you know, NASCAR or college football, where they could quite literally just like drop off the RV, set it up, you know, put on the air conditioning, get the fridge cold, and allow 10 people to have a great tailgating party, watch the game, go to the game, they pick it up. They've, you know, earned a few hundred dollars or maybe, you know, maybe more than that even between the other things and the add-ons. And it's like the lowest risk possibility. Meanwhile, a whole bunch of sports fans get a great time.
Sounds good to me. So you could have a rental that's just for the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I could imagine all kinds of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had an Airstream or something cool or retro, someone might want it for a birthday party or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could think of a lot of uses for,
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, we were thinking we might try to find like a tab and have like a weekend getaway.
Right.
There's a lot of uses for a lot of people. That's what's great about this model.
Hey guys, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you. It's like, you guys obviously spend a lot of time on the road yourselves, but couldn't you imagine that it might be nice if you wanted to like try out a certain model or a different kind of a motorhome or a trailer, whether you're thinking about buying a new one or you just want to try something different and actually have the access to be able to do that?
Like, Jen, you're good. You're good, Jen.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea at all because, I mean, purchasing a Class C or a Class A could be a $100,000 investment or more. So to drop, you know, even $400 for the weekend to just see, well, do I like a Class C? Or maybe next weekend I'll rent a Class A. That's a low-cost research to me instead of making a mistake on a huge purchase.
To rent the Class C when you're on the trip that you want the Class C for, and then not to have it for all of those other times when our travel trailer works just fine for us. And we're actually very happy with our travel trailer a lot of the time. So it just does make sense for all parties involved in this model. So we think it's fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating.
And we think that a lot of our listeners probably just got some thoughts rolling in their head. And we bet you're going to get a little traffic on your side.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Anybody can email me directly.
Just give us the website again and any social media addresses you want to share. Where can people find you out there?
Okay, thank you very much. Well, first of all, anybody can email me directly at jen@outdoorsy.co. The website is www.outdoorsy.co. We're not a .com, we're a .co. And we're on most of the social sites, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Google+, et cetera. But my two favorite places right now are for people to follow us either on Twitter or Instagram, @outdoorsy. You can even tag your best shots of RV, motorhome, travel life to #neveridle, and we'll feature you on our channel. Or the other thing is reading or subscribing to our travel journal, which is Never Idle. And that's right now at our website /neveridle, or you could pick it up in the footer. And that's really where we're focusing on providing hopefully great quality, high quality content. And we stay in touch with people that, you know, want options for new rigs, new places to go, and how to's.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. That was fascinating. Very useful for our listeners. We wish you the best on your big road trip, and we wish you the best of luck with this really exciting new business.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you allowing us to be here.
Absolutely.
Tonight.
We'll have you back on again someday. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
thank you so much for listening to episode 56 of RVFTA, RV Rentals with Outdoorsy. I wanted to take a second and personally compliment all of our listeners and just let you know you all have great energy.
You make us feel the vibes.
We feel your energetic vibrations.
Thank you so much for listening. Take that energy and type in rvfamilytravelatlas.com into your browser and head on over and enter the contest for the Toastite Tidbit.
Take your good energy, head over to iTunes, and drop us an energetic iTunes review.
Yeah, a nice one. 5 stars, please.
Well, if they're bringing good energy to it, it'll be 5 stars. Or bring your good energy to our rally at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA October 23rd and 24th. Spread that good energy around.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see you next week.